Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here today to kind of introduce us to our mayoral candidates. The election for the mayor isn't until October, as I understand, October 2nd. So the first election that we'll be running up against here will be the primary election here at the end of the month. But we want to get people introduced to the mayoral candidates and find out where they stand on different issues so that you have the opportunity to ask them questions and speak with your neighbors and get your concerns answered, you know, before you make a decision about who you want as your borough mayor. So we are lucky to have with us today both Mr. Mark Masteller and current Mayor Larry DeVilbiss, both respected members of the community. And we're certainly fortunate to have them here with us today. And we appreciate your time, gentlemen, so that you can share with us a little bit about what the future holds, in your opinion, you know, for the borough. And, of course, with these forums, what we do is we give them about 3 minutes to go ahead and open up, tell us a little bit about themselves, to leave some questions from the podium, where they will each have the opportunity to answer those questions, and then I'll have about a 3 minute closing. And we're trying to get everybody out of here on time. I think we were published until, we're published until 1:30 today, so we've got a little bit of extra time today. But if you do need to get up and leave, get back to your business, certainly don't be ashamed. We all have work to do, so we definitely want to get back to work, keep the borough churning. So what we will do is we will ask Mr. DeVilbiss for an opening statement. So, Mr. DeVilbiss, can we give you a 3 minute opening statement, please? And I would warn you, sir, it looks like your microphone might be wrapped around your chair there. There we go.
Indeed.
Larry DeVilbiss.
Thank you. I was going to forego saying a lot about myself, but I see so many new people here that I'm going to give you a little bit of history.
I don't think your mic's on, Mayor. Sorry.
Am I responsible for that,
too? No. Is it on now? Yeah, that sounds better. When I came to Alaska, the population of Wasilla was 151. We just about got that many people in here today. So I've seen a lot of change. I grew up on a homestead up on Lazy Mountain. My father was one of the last ones on the Federal Homestead Act in the valley. And I grew up in an environment of milking cows and walking to school and then going home and milking cows again. It hasn't changed a lot. I still milk a cow at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's usually when I get my best thinking done. But I didn't stay here. I went off to college. Graduated from Prairie Bible College out in Canada, and then went on to postgraduate work in linguistics and sociology, cross-cultural communications at the University of Washington, and then the University of Oklahoma State, and Fuller Seminary, and did my Spanish language work down at the Instituto Cultural de Hamburgo in Mexico City. And then I spent about 10 years traveling in South America. And at one point, probably knew more about the indigenous languages of the Americas than anybody else. I actually did translation work in over 50 languages in the Amazon Basin. And finally got so beat down with malaria and typhoid and everything else that you would get when you'd go into the hospital to get cleaned up from that. And they told me to get out of the jungle or I wasn't going to live much longer. So I brought my family up here to Alaska. Dad had passed away, and took over the management of the Wolverine Farm in 1980, and made some major decisions, and have been successful at farming and working up on Lazy Mountain. But very soon after I got back, I got involved in local politics. I ran to be a road service area supervisor. You had to do that back then. I was appointed to the planning commission. I served 2 terms on the assembly, and then was two terms on the school board, and I thought I was done with my public service, but I got challenged when Talis Kohlberg's term came up last year, and I ran to fill out his term, and now I want my own term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. We'll now extend the same courtesy to Mark Masteller. 3 minute opening statement, please, Mark.
Thank you, folks. Good afternoon. Thanks, Stu, and thanks to the Chamber for the invite today. Before I get too much further, I would like to introduce my wife, Judy Masteller. She's a local veterinarian here in Wasilla, and she's her support means the world to me. So, yeah, my name is Mark Masteller. I'm a fiscal conservative, independent, and I'm running for mayor because it's an important time in the borough's future. The borough faces some tough decisions, and these will affect us for many years coming. To strengthen our communities, we need to promote the best economic options, use our tax dollars wisely, and give our kids a great education. I'm ready to apply my years of public service to doing this and keeping the Valley the best place to live. When I'm out there visiting door to door, I'm hearing one message loud and clear. We need to be thoughtful how we develop. My style is to invite people to the table, get the best ideas and decisions, and move forward from there, not micromanage from the top down. We need to restore accountability in the borough. When I'm mayor, we're going to put the borough's checkbook online so everybody can see where the money is flowing. My years of service as a wildlife biologist, I learned that reliable information is key to making good decisions. More recently, I've been working to develop healthy and high-performance buildings, and I'm especially proud of my work with the new Community Recycling Center. Because of that, we have 8 new full-time jobs, and we've had at least 4 new businesses locate in the borough because of that facility. Reliable and affordable energy is key to a resilient and diverse economy. We've got many large energy projects headed our way, but something we can do right now to help ourselves right now is work on energy efficiency measures. That's something we don't have to wait for anybody for. It produces savings right now, it produces local jobs, and it saves money far into the future. As the chair, former chair anyway, of the Matsu Borough Planning Commission, I found that with a very civil and respectful process, people come together from diverse backgrounds and find good solutions. That's what I want to bring to the borough. We need to respect the hard work of all of our citizens. Mr. Dyer mentioned the economic development work. We have an economic development plan out there that has a lot of good goals and good strategies. We need to implement that plan. It's time now because federal funding's on the decline and we hear state funding might be on the decline. It's time to implement that thing now and broaden our diversity. There are many exciting projects underway. All the road projects going on, the port expansion, the prison, the Hatcher Pass. We need to shepherd these things carefully and move forward. In summary, I think the Matsu has the best opportunities in the state to build a self-sustaining economy. With good decisions, we can continue growing, broaden our diversity of businesses, and keep this the best place to live. Together, working together, we can make this happen. I look forward to your ideas and your questions and your concerns. Thanks a lot, folks.
So thank you very much, Mark and Mr. Mayor, for the opening statements here. I would ask that in the future, as we ask questions, that we just kind of hold our applause until the end. We will give them a rousing ovation, I'm sure, when they leave. But I am told by the president of the chamber that we are going to be out of here at 12 o'clock, or at 1 o'clock, excuse me. So we want to kind of keep things moving along if we can. So the first question, we'll start with Mark. Since we started with the mayor for the opening statement, we'll start with Mark on this question, and the next question we'll start with the mayor and go from there. So. You both are businessmen or have families in business. So question number one to this audience of chamber members, is your business a member of the chamber? And if a prospective business came to your office as a mayor, what would you tell them about joining the chamber? Mark, 90 seconds.
I've maintained a consulting business for quite some time. I don't do that now. I work for Matsu College developing a new renewable energy program. My business is not a member of the chamber, but I certainly encourage businesses to be part of the local community. And it's really important as we grow. We've actually seen a lot of growth, the best growth in the state of Alaska, here in the Matsu Valley. And we've seen business grow. The AutoZone opening is a good example. This is great to see in the valley, and it shows people are investing in our community.
Thank you very much, Mark. Mr. Mayor, same question for you, sir. Is your business a member of the chamber, and what do you tell people who come to your office about the chamber?
I guess I could use my card to make it easy. I have never been a member of the Wasilla Chamber. I have been a member of the Palmer Chamber for many years. I'm not positive I'm current right now. Got to check on that, but that's how it stacks. Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. You know, recently we've been reading a lot about the ferry. Matter of fact, I think it was even in the Anchorage Daily News yesterday or over the weekend about the ferry that we have developed, you know, in conjunction with the Navy. And now we're looking at perhaps even mothballing the ferry or finding other uses for that, because apparently we're unable to come to an agreement with the city of Anchorage, or the municipality of Anchorage, about how we would get back and forth across the inlet there. What, Mr. Mayor, do you think is the best option for the ferry at this point?
That's a good, and you want a 90-second answer? I do appreciate letting me give my opinion on that, because I'm normally sitting in front of the assembly and listening to their opinions. Right now, I would like to see our assembly, first of all, come to a decision point. There's no question that we have a product that's very different from what we started towards over 10 years ago. And my personal opinion is that if it cannot pencil out and pay its way, it's not something we should burden the taxpayers of this borough with. How we work that out is going to depend a lot on the assembly, but I did call a special meeting last week that put some more information on the table, and we actually got a motion and a decision, and contrary to what the newspaper or the radio said this morning, it was not to study what to do. It was to put out an RFP to get up bids on bringing the ferry up and the cost of storing it and then putting it back into service.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark, same question for you, sir. What do you think is the best option for the ferry?
Thanks, Stu. Yeah, it is definitely a sticky situation. One thing we have to do is, I admire Mr. Moosey's work to bring forward lots of options and work hard to look at those different options about the ferry. The one thing I haven't seen discussed that I think we could at least approach is every major bridge project in the world starts with a ferry service, typically. So that was kind of one of the roots of our ferry to start with. So now, as the mayor said, we've got a little different product than we thought, but we've got a ferry, and we're paying a lot of money per month to keep it in Ketchikan. So one thing I'd like to explore is, can we work with Kubota and try to figure out some of the problems on the Anchorage side, maybe use some of their money to build the port, to do something so we can dock it there? It does go back to an issue of planning. I mean, it's amazing to me, we don't even have a spot to berth that thing on our side. So where's the planning for that? So we need to be thinking about that. But it's a sticky thing. I think we should be looking at all options. Maybe Shell can use the ferry. I don't know. I do applaud the work that's been done to look for those different options. Right now, given the way things are going with the bridge, I'd like to see us potentially approach Kubota to see if we can kind of work out some of our Anchorage side issues as well.
Thank you, Mark. You can go ahead and arrange standing since you're going to be addressing the next question here. You mentioned the ferry being, you know, the first step towards a bridge in most bridge projects, and that was certainly part of the discussion we had when the ferry was being proposed. So now we have a tremendous amount of money invested in Fort McKenzie. We've got a great facility over there. We have a tremendous amount of more development going on over there, and yet the one key link, you know, getting us back and forth, be it the ferry or be it the bridge, is missing there. What would you do as mayor to make sure that those links move forward?
Thanks, Stu. So first off, yeah, we've got the port is a great example of planning for where we want to do things like industrial uses, et cetera. We've got port expansion going on. The bridge is a very expensive project that could be years away. It may be a vital link, but right now, after we get the rail extension in there, the current bridge project doesn't include rail, which means we would have to spend more money for another bridge or something else. So right now, in my view, the bridge is a little ways out there. I have no doubt that someday there'll be a bridge, but I think from a fiscal conservative perspective, we've got a lot of big dollar projects out there, and we have to be very careful with, we've seen the way things are going, and I am a fiscal conservative. The federal money's not flowing like it is. Just the other day I was in a meeting where Senator Huggins mentioned the state money's not flowing like it's going to be. So we have to be very concerned about where the money's going to come from to build these things. And then on top of that, we have, as the borough has the responsibility for watching how it impacts our borough from the health, safety, and welfare perspective, and what are our costs going to be when that development happens on the borough side of the project.
Thank you very much, Mark. Mr. Mayor, same question for you, sir. How do you propose that we get the most out of the investment that we're making in the Point McKenzie area, including the port, the rail extension, and so on and so forth, without that critical link to Anchorage? How can we make that happen?
Well, I hope it doesn't have to happen. We conceived from the very beginning that the port without a rail and without a bridge was going to be handicapped, and the ferry was a temporary piece of that puzzle. But I have done everything I could to promote the bridge, and it's maybe something that where we differ. We're only one piece of legislation away from having a bridge. We have all the private sector public-private cooperation that's in place, and the largest contractors in the world ready to build that bridge. All we need is the guarantee money for the toll. I will be going out tomorrow to AML to talk the other mayors in the state into supporting Kibata. We were absolutely stonewalled last winter down in Juneau on the Senate side on that. So, like we say, they're buying right away now. They have a design. They have the companies ready to bid, and we just need to put the money down. And I'm going to be doing everything I can to make that happen sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next question will go to you, sir. The roots of the valley are kind of born in agriculture and in mining, you know, resource development, raw mineral development. There's been a lot of talk lately about the Wishbone Hill, the sudden coal development area. Where do you stand on that? Is that a good idea for the valley, and should we continue to move forward?
Well, I was probably the first mayor to come along in a while that was not afraid to say he supported the development of the responsible development of our coal in this valley. That is a resource that has been put in our laps, and I think without natural resource development, we're going to be very hard put to get the economy I want to see here, and that is an economy where people are driving this way from Anchorage to go to work instead of the other way. And we've got a long ways to go. We have to have an environment that makes the most of the timber and the land and the mineral resources that we have, both renewable and non-renewable. And that whole package gives us the capacity to be entirely self-sufficient if we will work that direction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark, same question for you, sir. What do you see as the future of Wishbone Hill and Southern Coal Development, and do you support that?
Well, I'm going to go back to how you phrased it to start with. The roots of the valley really are in salmon, in a lot of cases, for the folks that have been here for a long, long time. And farming, of course, was a huge part then in the early 1900s. And we need to protect those things because they're a huge part of our economy now. And especially farming and food production can be a much larger part of our economy. The state of Alaska, we as humans here, import more than 95% of our food. This is something where the Valley can really specialize in improving food security for not only us here in the Valley, but also people across the state of Alaska. We're going to see higher food prices because of the drought in the lower 48, etc. Something we need to be thinking about right now is protecting those things. Then let's think a little bit bigger about how any development that we do, we can do those developments and still protect our salmon resources. Think about the value of the salmon resource. And several people mentioned it earlier before we started the forum about the impacts to our salmon and the issues we've got going on. This is a serious deal because many sectors of our economy deal with salmon. And so I think it's important to be able to develop and protect those things that we really love. Tourism and salmon, etc., are really important to what we do. Wishbone Hill is a state project, so we're going to, again, going back, and I know my time's getting short, but these are state projects that, in the case of the borough, we have to make sure we mind the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens and make sure they have a voice in the process. That's the whole point, is to have a voice in the process. Sorry.
Sorry, Diana. Thank you very much, Mark. And the next question will go to you, sir. And this will be the last question of the day, and then we'll go into opening statements there. Mr. Masteller, of the projects that are not yet funded, infrastructure projects that are not yet funded by the state or by the borough, what are the most important projects on your list for which you would chase funding?
In my view, the most important thing we can do to help diversify our economy and protect the people and businesses who have already invested here is work towards affordable energy sources. And this, there's a couple components, and actually this is part of what I've been doing for 12 years, so this is my field of work. But energy is fundamental to good economies. And in my view, the first thing we can do is incentivize ways to reduce energy use. It's called energy efficiency. It pays off immediately. You can get a better return on investment doing these kinds of things than anything you could do in Wall Street. So it produces local jobs, and then it paves the way for other energy options, which in the future, the long-term future, of course, we're looking at renewable energy. But that's a step away. Right now, if you do energy efficiency, you are saving money and energy, whether it's fossil energy or whatever else. So energy projects are critical. And for our security in that respect, we want to talk about distributed generation. So lots of small energy projects that help us all out. We have lots of road needs. And there's $600 million worth of projects, not all funded. So safe transportation. And then as far as unfunded, I was really happy to see people invest in the school bonds. That was a great deal. Again, a demonstration that people are investing in our borough and care about our borough. And I'm getting the stop again, sorry, but I get wound up on this stuff.
Thank you, Mark. Mr. Mayor, same question for you, sir. Of the projects that are currently unfunded, infrastructure projects, what projects, for which projects will you be pursuing funding?
The first link in our economic plan that we need to make the port what it's meant to be is the remaining $30 million for the rail extension that we expect and hope to get out of this next legislature. Behind that, I would say our road system. If you're going to invest and develop economically, you have to have the infrastructure to support it. And we've got a lot of road projects, the trunk road extension. We need another way in across the valley, and that will open up the trunk road. I meant Bogard Road is what I meant, the Bogard Road extension into Palmer. We don't have any funding for that at this point. That will probably be a priority that we will address in the next legislature. the existing projects, seeing that, that the state gets what we need to complete the projects that are on the table right now in the way of the KGB Road and the Wasilla Big Lake Road, the connector between the port and the Parks Highway. I would say those three or four projects with the trunk road extension are the big priorities in my scope.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. At this point, we're going to roll into a three-minute closing statement. So if you are ready, sir, a three-minute closing statement for our audience.
Wow, this has gone fast. Well, I invite you, I think when you look at the both of us and see both what we've done, look at our backgrounds, look at the people that are supporting us, you'll see a lot of contrast. And I appreciate that about this race. When I ran a year ago and there were eight people running, it was hard to get clarity on anything. And I appreciate the fact that we get to do this one-on-one. My mantra is local jobs. If we don't have a local job base, we will not have an economy when the oil runs dry and when the federal government money stops running. It's going to be an economic disaster here. Those that were here in the 80s have been through that and know that. I have worked hard. I don't think anybody would deny that I have not been to more meetings and more community. I've been to all the community councils except one, most of the boards and commissions. I've put in over 9,000 miles in this last year, visiting and listening to what people have to say. I've also reached out to areas that are untraditional. I attend an interchurch prayer meeting and was very glad to see what the churches did a couple of weeks ago when they got, about 10 of them got together. They went out to the schools and a lot of other projects, and hundreds of people spent a day out in the community doing things that were very helpful. I don't think government is the answer for a lot of things, for most things actually. And if we're going to build a balanced, sustainable, healthy community, we have to do it in concert with the churches and the agencies that are here. I would like to invite you to my campaign kickoff next week. Everybody's been after me because I don't have any signs out. I've been busy being mayor. But next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we are hosting a fundraiser at the atrium. And if you want to help on my campaign, I would appreciate it. And once again, thank you for inviting and setting this up. I think the more we can get the issues out there and the more you get to know us, if you really want the level of and the rhetoric that went on for about 10 years that was against business development in this valley, I don't want to be your mayor. You can get somebody else. But if you share my vision, please vote for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Stu. Thanks, folks. We face some critical decisions, and we have lots of great opportunities, and I'm excited about that. As we've talked about, federal and state spending might be going down, but it's time for us to make our opportunities, and I think we can do that. I'm excited to help do that. For business owners to invest, we need a well-educated population and predictability in the development environment. I want to make sure people have easy access to their government and that their advice is considered and respected. I will work my hardest to connect people and businesses and other government decision makers together to make our wonderful valley a great place to live. You know, recently I got a chance to judge the School of the Future competition. And a group of kids right here at Thielen Middle School presented this vision that was so exciting to me about how they see a school built from materials mined from the landfill, running on energy efficiency and renewable energy. And they even included how to help the local homeless youth in their vision. And I thought, man, these are the folks that we're handing things to in the future. It was so exciting. They went on to win the Alaska competition. They won the Pacific Northwest competition. They won the international competition. And that's really exciting to me. So for 18 years now, I've been running a hockey group here in the Valley, right? A bunch of old guys. We just keep getting older. And part of the deal is we're a very diverse group of folks. I mean, Dave Cruz and I have been on this probably the longest, 18 years, I think, for both of us. And it's a diverse group of folks, but we don't allow checking. We all got to get up and go work to work in the morning. The point is, we have to work together to get the puck in the net. All right? So no matter what jersey you're wearing that night, you're on that group of guys, and you're basically trying to score for your team. That's the teamwork. That's the spirit I bring to the mayor's job. There's vision in where we want to go. It's a 21st century vision, and we can build on that and have a great place to live. I sincerely believe that. So, you can always go to my website and check things out, MassStellar4Mayor.com, and the 4 is a number 4. Give me a call with any questions or concerns. I really appreciate your support. And remember, the election is October 2nd. Thanks a lot.
Well, gentlemen, on behalf of the chamber, we thank you for taking time to be with us today. We realize, as the mayor said, time went by really quickly here. So unfortunately for those of us here in the crowd, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. So hopefully between now and when we cast our ballots, in October, we'll have a chance to speak with both gentlemen and make sure that we are making a well-informed decision that's going to be good for our families, good for our communities, and good for our chamber. Ms. Pollard, it's all yours.
All right. One more round of applause for our candidates.